Heather, at what point did you realize that there was someone shooting at that concert?
We didn't personally hear the first couple, like, shots. We were just, you could hear the concert, and it sounded like it was part of the concert. Literally, I had a British gentleman's credit card in my hand and was, like, swiping it through the machine when all of a sudden there was thousands of people pushing their way into the bar, screaming and saying, shooter and shooter, and all of a sudden, like, the second round of bullets went off, and because, like, there was no music or anything, you could hear it. I mean, it sounded like thousands of fireworks going off.
And what did you do? How did you respond?
My first instinct was to run with everybody, and I don't know why I didn't. Something inside of me, like, made me stop, and, you know, we didn't know. We thought the shooter was on the ground. So we didn't know where he was going to go, what was going to happen. And so I was right behind, like, the back door of the bar that I was working. And I walked in, and there was a lady standing against the wall, and her leg was bleeding. And I said, did you cut yourself? Did you fall? And she said, I don't know what happened. And I looked at her leg, and she had two little holes, like, right in the front of her leg.
She'd been shot.
All of a sudden, like, you heard a bunch more shots. They were, like, right outside of the bar. And then all of a sudden, like, the people that were coming through the bar were all the injured. Like, there was just so many people were holding people.
And how they were using, like, parts of, there was a fence, and they were using parts of the fence as stretchers to try and carry people out. Is that right?
Yeah, there was, like, a big round Route 91 cardboard sign. They were using that to carry people. The barrier fences, you know, that, like, block off, you know, the front of the stage and whatever. Every single one of them had a body on it.
Heather, at what point did you encounter Jordan McAldoon?
I turned around, and there's, like, three guys holding, like, a metal ladder. And they said, come over here. We need your help. Can you grab the corner of the ladder? So I grabbed the corner of the ladder, and I reached down, and I grabbed the guy's hand. And we carried the ladder outside to the back of the festival, and they put him down. And they said, are you okay? We got to go back in. I said, I'm okay. And literally right as they, like, walked away, like, I felt his fingers, like, tighten and then loosen. And nobody knew who he was. We didn't know anything about him. You know, I was trying to see if he was awake, and he wasn't. He just passed.
How did you find out who he was?
He had a cell phone on him. The cell phone started to ring. There was myself and another gentleman whose name I didn't get. I answered it. It was a friend of his named Connor. We said, who are you calling right now? Who are you trying to get a hold of? And he said, you know, Jordan. And we said, Jordan what? And so a guy was there with a marker. We literally wrote Jordan's name on his shoulder so that we knew it. You know, and we were talking to the guy, and we're like, you know, we can't really talk right now. Like, you know, I told him who I was, that I was just a random bartender that was just trying to help. And his mom called. So the guy that was with me answered Jordan's phone. And it was his mom. At that point, we didn't say anything to his mom. We just asked who he was with. We found out that he was there with his girlfriend. We found out her name. We got her phone number. So then I called Amber. We found out she was in lockdown in the basement of Tropicana.
And what did you tell Amber?
I said I was with Jordan. And she said, is he hurt? And I said, yes. And she said, is he okay? And I said, no. And she said, please be honest with me, you know, what's going on? I said, I don't want to be the one to tell you this. I go, but he didn't make it. And she said, no, that's not true. He's got to be breathing. Check again. See if he's breathing. I said, I've been with him for over an hour now. I go, he didn't make it. And she said, he's the love of my life. Please tell me that he's okay. At that point, I promised her that I would absolutely not leave his side, that I would be her contact, that I would make sure she knew where he was going to be moved to, what was going on, that I would make sure that I would tell her every single thing that was happening, that she couldn't leave.
Heather, what did your companion tell Jordan's mom? This would be, and we know her name is Angela.
Angela.
And that mom and dad live, this is their only child, and they live in Maple Ridge.
All we did was get information about Amber and him. We didn't at that point tell her what happened. After I got the phone with Amber, I don't know how long it was, his mom called back. I talked to her. I told her I had spoken to Amber. I told her that Amber was okay. You know, and then she asked me, you know, how is Jordan? And I actually didn't realize that the guy who had spoken to her first didn't tell her that he had passed away. So I said, well, he didn't make it. Like, I'm sitting with his body right now. And she was relatively calm in the beginning. She was asking questions. Then she told me, like, his childhood nickname was Blimpy because he was a blimp when he was little, that he's covered in tattoos, that, you know, he loves life and he loves his girlfriend, and, you know, they were supposed to go home today, and it sucked. But I swore to her, too, that I was in touch with Amber, that I wasn't going to leave him until I knew exact, you know, until she knew all the information. You know, I would never want myself or one of my family members to be left alone. I needed to make sure that they could identify him, that they knew who he was, that they knew that he, the girlfriend that was here. And so I stayed with him.
How long did you stay with him?
It was about 3:30 in the morning when a couple of the detectives and a fireman came over and started, you know, telling us that, you know, they need people to go to the police station. They need to, you know, do 100% identification of the body. Then they would be moved to the coroner's office. Just as I was about to leave the area, another detective called me, said he was with Amber, that they had police with her at the Tropicana. And then, you know, I went home, I threw out my clothes because at this point I was freezing cold and I was covered in blood. And then about 5:46 a.m., I got a text message from Amber saying that he'd been shot on the left side of his stomach, but that was all she knew. They wouldn't let her see him yet, that she was at the police station.
You stayed with him for 5.5 hours after he had been shot.
Yeah.
That was it.
I wouldn't want anybody to leave. You know, I couldn't just leave him by himself. You know, if Amber couldn't be with him or his mom, like, I don't know. I couldn't leave him.
Do you have anybody with you? Do you have anyone to hold you?
No, my roommates are home. And like, they both stayed home from work today just to be in the house in case. But, I mean, I'm okay. I think I haven't really registered everything yet.
Heather, I'm so glad you were there. And I can't imagine how grateful the family is that you were there, Amber and the parents, Al and Angela. And I think you're a very special person.
Oh, thank you. I'm not. I just...
You are, and I think that you deserve a great deal of thanks. And I thank you for speaking with us and telling. This is very painful.
No problem. It was my pleasure.
Please take care.
Thank you.